greetings from the PNG Church of Christ. All your brothers and all their sisters, they send their love and hugs and prayers to all the family here in Melbourne. You know, it's been a great service so far. My goodness, when it comes to singing, Melbourne Church of Christ, you know, this is something, you know, I'm really so encouraged. Thank you so much. You know, the communion was great. The welcome was great. Everything was fantastic. It's been a great time. And, you know, I really do treasure my relationship with, you know, Mike and Karen. And, you know, just thank you for the opportunity to be here in Melbourne. I was telling Mike yesterday, I think it's been like 5 years or something since I last came here to Melbourne. But, you know, we hold some of the friendships that we share here. They go way back when I was just a teenager. The Silas, the Timlins, you know, the Vasalos, and, you know, I knew Aaron. Now, you know, he's a team leader, but I knew him when he was 11 years old. Wake up in the morning and pray together, and, you know, some of the friendships that, you know, I have a very special friend also here, you know, Sister Faye, you know, her and Mark Timlin, they come and, you know, visit PNG and do the work of Hope, you know, this, where is, I can't see Faye, there's so many people. Oh, there you go, Faye, thank you for coming. Please do meet her, you know, her and Mark, they come from time to time to do some work at Hope and, you know, some of the friendships that we share here. So just so thankful to be here. Yesterday was, you know, great to get to meet, have the opportunity to speak at the leaders' workshop. And to be honest, if you did not know, or maybe you've heard before, Mike Vasalo is one of my favorite preachers. Wow. And, you know, there's something about Mike that, you know, I really so, you know, dearly treasure in my life. You know, I grew up, you know, as a preteen, not a teen, but I would come back from Sunday school and I would hear my mom speak about Mike Vasalo and share about, you know, his preaching and his style and, you know, short, sharp, 20 minute, 25 minute, you know, and I would just only hear it at a distance. And then as time went by, you know, I would hear him speak, and now to speak for the first time in front of him, that is really something very special. And so, you know, I really, you know, he's one of, you know, my fathers in the faith. Mike, thank you so much for always being there for me. Thank you, Melbourne Church. You know, we do really share a special bond. You know, I have some good news I want to share from PNG. You know, last year was a great year for us. You know, the last 2 years, of all the things that has happened, I became a first-time father. And, and, dating was great, and marriage was great, and parenting, a whole new chapter, you know. So, you know, Felix, wake up, you know, change the diaper, okay, okay, you know, I'm tired, and all this, you know, it's a whole new world, you know, as soon as you become a parent. But, you know, I'm learning and growing in every way, and hopefully, you know, I'm improving. But it's been great. Our son is almost 4 months old. And so it's been a journey, and, you know, it's been great. But, you know, at the church, you know, we saw 26 souls added into God's kingdom last year. And we're so grateful for all that God is doing in Port Moresby. In 2018, we reached over 100 disciples for the first time in almost 10 years. And that is such a, you know, that's, you know, those small little victories. And, you know, and we're looking forward, you know, two years later, we have now four married, regional married Bible talk groups. We have a thriving singles ministry that prayerfully, you know, in the mid-year, it will split into two groups. You know, the teens, we started off with, you know, one campus student, and now we have 8 disciples on campus. And so we're just so excited for all that God is doing. And, you know, I have a, you know, one of the photos here. There is Joyce, you know, in blue. You know, she got baptized, you know, 2 years ago, and you know, we started in, you know, continue to go and share our faith and do Bible talk groups, and now we have, you know, 8 campus disciples. And so please pray for the campus ministry. So we're looking forward to the new year again, and that's really exciting. God is doing amazing things. That's the recent photo from the HVC, and you all know Catherine and, you know, Gina. They're not from the campus there, but, you know, so, you know, one of the brothers, you know, one of the, you know, it's always amazing to see families get converted. And, you know, it's always this story about the ripple effect. And we had a teen disciple, young 19-year-old, got baptized. You know, he studied the Bible. His mom came along. They studied the Bible, and they got baptized last year, and then followed by his auntie, his uncle, his other auntie, his mother's best friend, and then later on, the last one, his grandfather, at the age of 82 years old, got baptized, and now they are all the Suwebu clan. You know, they are now our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's him there, you know, baptized out of the water. And my dad is in the black shirt. And there's Dory there who recently got restored and on board in his, you know, first baptism. So that's exciting. You know, I want to share this about this family, Livingstone and Valerie. You know, they, 2 years ago, you know, we had a vision for them, and that, you know, that we were praying that one day, you know, one of the halls, one of the malls in, well, pretty much like the only mall in PNG. So he was like, you know, he's a draftsman. I don't know what, like an engineer thing, you know. He designed the Vision City. So he's the company that he works for, you know, they designed. But, you know, they became disciples. And their family also, their two daughters and also his sister's, you know, daughter also became disciples. And now they are leading a marriage regional Bible talk group. And so that is really exciting, you know, to see, you know, this marriage. You know, we approached them last month and like, hey, Felix and Ashley, we are ready. We are ready, whatever you want us to do. And we are ready to take up the task in serving a region this year. And so God has been doing amazing things. Well, this photo, I love this photo, but the guy with the bush knife. You know, I was surprised to see him sitting in front here. How can you even trust this guy, you know? But the HVC, oh my goodness, thank you so much. You know, I'm already tired of hearing, you know, Jeanette and Brett, you know, it's just everyone is talking about them and the son and the family and all that. But last month was really, really an encouraging and boosting time for the church. And so from the HVC, this month, we saw two baptisms, two brothers, and I won't say the name, but you know, but one of the brothers that got baptized on his repentance study, he went back. You know, he comes from a rough family. He goes back home and goes to the pit toilet, and he throws all his guns and everything that, you know, all his past. He threw it in the pit toilet. He came on the Sunday service. I'm ready to give my life. And he, you know, he started to, at home, you know, and in the street, everyone knows about him and his background and what he does. And he started to reach out to his family and reach out to his mom, reach out to his neighborhood. And all of a sudden, the mom is a little bit scared. Oh, you've changed. What's going on? It's a little bit weird. No, mom, you need to come to church. You need to come to church. I said, okay, just come down. Okay, I think she freaked out a little bit. But that's amazing. It's amazing how God transforms lives, and, you know, you see the effect. And, you know, the HVC was really a boost. So thank you so much for all of those, you know, Chris and, you know, Jeanette and also Brett for coming there. And they really do, you know, share a special bond with you guys. The title of our theme this year as a church is God Makes It Grow. And so, you know, we're excited. Please keep us in your prayers. As we continue to, you know, reach out and evangelize, advance God's kingdom in Port Moresby. And the church is really excited. We started our LTP group last year in August. And so we're just excited to, you know, work in with raising the next generation of leaders so we can see God do great things in the city, in the nation's capital. So again, finally, you know, I really want to take this time to say thank you to the Melbourne Church. Not just for your prayers and your love, but your also your financial support. We are here today, you know, and if you're visiting, if you're studying the Bible, the Melbourne Church supports us in our mission there. And so on behalf of the family in Port Moresby and Goomini and Calvary, one of the most remote places in PNG, they send their love and thank you to the Melbourne Church. Thank you for all that you do. In your support for us. So yeah, that's it pretty much for the good news. Amen. Let's go straight to that. What is the greatest need today? I woke up, I arrived, went on holiday, you know, with my wife and in the States, spent some time with my in-laws, because the last time I went, I just married their daughter and brought her back and never saw my in-laws. And so now it's like 3 weeks with the, you know, father-in-law, mother-in-law, so you got to put on your best behavior, and, you know. But, you know, we spent a good time, and I, you know, coming back to PNG, I thought, you know, what is the greatest need? What is the greatest need today? This is something that I will try to, you know, this is something that I've been praying for back in, you know, our theme for, you know, our prayer for this year is going to be taken from this text that I'm going to be preaching this morning. And I think the greatest need, there's something that I've, you know, really been praying in my heart is to really love my city. To really love Port Moresby. To really believe to the task that has been entrusted to me to serve the church in Port Moresby. And sometimes I can just really get away with just the routine of, you know, ministry or a Christian, you know, waking up in the morning and praying, reading my Bible, preaching on a Sunday, coming to attending fellowships and, you know, giving my, you know, sometimes I can fall into that routine. But something that I've been really praying for my heart is, God, please help me love my city. Amen. To love my people. You know, I am right now in one of the most livable city in the world. This is a city that is worth dying for and saving. It is such a beautiful city, and you ought to be proud of that. And we hope that one day, maybe Port Moresby will come a little bit there, but I don't know. We've got a lot of things to work on, you know. So maybe I was telling Mark, you know, Melbourne is like second. We are like there. No, not yet. But what is the greatest need today is that there is a need to see more souls added into God's kingdom.
Amen. Come on.
And as we go through this scripture, as Jesus enters Jerusalem, we will take some bullet points from there and what we can learn as a church and how we can love our city. Because that's something that I've been really praying for my heart in Port Moresby, is to love my people, love the place that I've been entrusted to serve. And so I hope that today, this morning, that we can really see the greatest need for Melbourne City, and how in every way, as a church, in all unity and oneness and determination and boldness and courage, to trust that God is with us and to go out and to reach out to more souls, more lost souls out in this city. So please send your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. And I will read this text and we'll come to God in prayer before I go straight. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find a colt that tied there, and which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, and its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread the cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side. They will dash you to the ground, and you and the children within your walls, and they will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'" Let's bow our heads and come to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, Lord Heaven, thank you true, Lord, this is a time people can bet on you. Sovereign God, you know, this is such a beautiful text. For some reason, it is recorded and put in the Bible, and we are reading it. It is such an honor to read it today. Open our eyes to see your scriptures. Lord, your servant is about to preach on this text, And if maybe some things are not clear, some of my points or illustrations, maybe my explanation, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, please speak to the hearts of everyone. To the members of the church, to our friends and our visitors, and even to the teens, may you reveal the knowledge of your truth, Father. Speak to us today. May we see the heart of Jesus, his heart for Jerusalem and to the whole world. And may we see the heart of Jesus. May we imitate the heart of Jesus and have a heart and concern, a love for the lost souls in this city. Bless this time. May your presence go before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have a few points I want to share with us. Point number one is, what drives your life? What drives your life? What are you passionate about? What excites you? What motivates you? What is something that you wake up every day and it fires you up, that really, really inspires you to live each day? What is the driving force in your life? You know, verse 28 is telling us that Jesus is set to go to Jerusalem. Now, mind you, this is not the first time he has gone to Jerusalem. He's gone inside Jerusalem many times. The last time he went with a whip. All you Papua New Guineans, tell him, better not, get away. He goes in. But now, you know, it's just something special about this entrance. And he's entering it. And there is something in this journey that he is about to go and die for the sins of all mankind. You know, in John chapter 11, verse 55, it is said that by this time, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they were already having plans to arrest him or to seize him. In fact, they were telling a lot of the citizens there, hey, if you see Jesus, you know, if you notice him or in the crowd or somewhere, please let us know so that we'll come and seize him. And so there is news about, you know, Jesus, and there's this rumor going around that, and Jesus already knows. He already knows what's going to happen. In Luke chapter 9, the Bible tells us that he sets his eyes, gaze on Jerusalem. He's ready to go. He's driven by this one factor, and that is to go there and to die for the sins of all mankind. Jesus already saw this thing. He already knew who was going to betray him. He already knew what was going to happen there. He already knew how he's going to stand in the courts and how he's going to die and who's going to betray him, who's going to be calling out. He already knew that the very people who said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, are the very people who will turn him over to the Romans. Jesus saw all these things, but despite of all those factors, I'm still going. I'm still ready to go. I've been waiting for this moment, this time, and this hour. It was driven by this one factor on this earth, and that was to come and to go to Jerusalem and ready to be handed over to the Romans and die so that you and I will have a relationship with God for eternity. Although there was this danger, Jesus openly, you know, he came openly towards Jerusalem. He was not afraid of his enemies. And while the crowd was with him, the leaders would arrest him, but he was still passionate. I am ready for this. I am sent to earth for this. He was driven by this one mission on earth, and that was to bring reconciliation. What drives your life for God's kingdom? What really motivates you? What excites you for God's kingdom? What drives your life this morning? I wake up every morning, and this is something that I've been really praying. God, help me to love my city, to love my people, to love my culture, to reach out to the lost souls out in this city. This is something that I've been really trying, because, you know, you got your wife and you got your son and you got a ministry, but God, please help me to see, open my eyes to see the needs out there in this world. What is the driving factor of your life this morning? You know, in the States, my mother-in-law, you know, decided to take us to Washington, D.C. And I took this photo of, what's it called? Lincoln Memorial Park. And, after taking a photo, I realized that, you know, that's the very place that Martin Luther King, you know, did his I Have a Dream speech. And I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't even think of that. I've studied Martin Luther King. I've read his, you know, I've known him. I've seen him on YouTube and all of that. I'm sitting on the place where he gave the speech. What? Checklist? So that was exciting. But, you know, there was something really, amazing, a thing that I really admire about, he gave this speech at that place, and he said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep on moving forward. This speech was, he used this speech most of the time on campuses to try to rally all the, you know, black Americans. You know, you can't just, the speech here is more of like perseverance, persistent. You can't be silent. You can't be a slave like this all your life. You got to do something. If you can't run, fly. If you can't fly, whatever it is, you know, but you got to keep moving forward. It's this idea of persevering, but we do it with, you know, a peaceful demonstration. And he was known for that. And he gave this, I have a dream. And he rallied thousands upon thousands. And now today, we see U.S. We see that this segregation, this black-white is no longer, does not exist anymore. There is, they have some issues there, but it's not like that anymore now, 50 years ago. MLK had a purpose-driven life. He used this phrase most of the times to rally the young ones. But shouldn't that be the same for us today? Isn't that true? That every disciple is a sent one by Christ Jesus. If there is one motivating factor that is common between us, it's a drive to see souls added into God's kingdom. Is that the driving factor for us today, this morning, and this hour? And of course, yes, we love the fellowship. I love the singing. I love all of these things. But how is it going in the area of seeking and saving the lost? You know, we grew by 20% last year. And that's a really good percent. But I thought, imagine if each person just focused, like if you just shared your faith and studied the Bible and helped someone to be, usher someone to eternity, just everyone does that. We will actually double and triple. But it's hard to get everyone on board because of life and busyness, and I'm sick, and I got this, I got that. And, you know, this is something that I'm really trying to help the church. Remember the mission. Stay focused on the mission. We have problems. Listen to me. I'm from Papua New Guinea. I'm from the third world country. I've been to Australia many times. I've been to the States. I've been to Fiji. But there's issues everywhere. But we can't fix all those issues.
Come on.
But the more we focus on reaching out, and this is something that I learned from Mike Fontenot, who is my disciple. He said, when you focus on helping people enter God's kingdom, all these problems and worries fade away. It is true. When you see someone, you know, get baptized and give their life and, you know, they have this eternity relationship, how beautiful is that? Yeah. But does that drive us? Does that motivate you? Does that excite you? Because Jesus, he set his mind on Jerusalem. I'm going. I know what's going to happen. I know. All you people singing there, Hosanna, I know. You put in all those leaves and put in all those ways. I know. But he says, I'm still going to love you. And I'm still coming. I'm still ready to be crucified. What drives your life today? Let us ask these questions. Sometimes this kind of question, it may not be an overnight answer. But let's pray about it. Let's think about it. Let's ponder about these things. Think about it this week. All your friends, your neighbors, your community, your work colleagues. Think about it. The road is narrow. But if this is going to be the common drive for each and every one of us, I think we will save as much in Melbourne City. This drive didn't stop Jesus entering Jerusalem. Let us choose the kind of drive to serve God wholeheartedly this year. Let us choose to be driven in carrying out the gospel throughout the Melbourne City. Amen?
Amen.
Point number two, are people worth dying for? Jesus comes to a place where he can look over a city. And, you know, tradition says that there's this, you know, sometimes you go on commentaries and you read, you know, I've never been to Jerusalem, by the way. I wish I could say I took the photo, but, you know, I did not. But tradition says that, you know, this is actually the Dominus Flavius Church. And some scholars believe that this is where actually Jesus stood. And he sees Jerusalem and he cries and weeps. But, you know, that's only some commentarians, some scholars, maybe another teacher or theologian, maybe have a different photo. But I decided to just pick this one because it looked like he was coming down the hill and he sees next to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem and he's looking over to the city. And the Bible says that as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, he cries. Why do you have to cry for the people who will turn around and murder you? But he weeps. He cries. Why? And I think for several factors. One is they didn't understand the coming of Jesus. They were thinking about a materialistic kingdom. The Jewish there were not ready to receive him as the Messiah, the Son of God. That's why Paul wrestled with that in the book of Romans. They had this issue. But Jesus weeps because he tells them, oh, if only you've seen the day of deliverance, the day of hope, the day of reconciliation, but you're too blind. And he cries for his people in Jerusalem. Isaiah 22, you know, the Bible says that, you know, therefore I said, this was also predicted, a prophecy. Look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Jesus wept bitterly. Don't labor to comfort me for the destruction of the daughter of my people. He cries for his city. Jesus weeps because of the coming judgment by the Romans in AD 70. And he gives a prophecy of the time. You know, I remember reading this scripture one morning. And I was crying. I was like, God, of all those years, 15 years of being a disciple, when was the last time I cried for my city? When was the last time I cried for my family? I'm back now from the States, and me and Ashley are still reaching out to our brother, my brothers-in-laws. When was the last time we've prayed and wrestled? God, help me to love Melbourne City. Every person that I meet, every person that I interact, every conversation, every meeting, I give an opportunity to reach out to share the gospel, the good news of Christ. And that really moved my heart because I saw Jesus, he really loved the people. He still loved his people. There was something about, you know, Jesus. He had a soft heart. You know, sometimes when you're praying, I want to love, but I can't feel it. And as I'm, God, I want to cry. I want to be emotional. You know, I want to feel, you know, I want to feel what you felt. You know, and so, you know, as I was praying, I was, okay, I'm going to start jogging. I'm going to start running in the mornings. And let me just get out of my comfort zone and just run. And, you know, these past few weeks, you know, I've been going out running in the morning. And every house that I run past, oh God, if there is anyone searching for you out there, please open their eyes. Put the Christians in their path or put us in their paths. It may not be from me or from anyone in the church, but if there is anyone out there, please, so that we can see more souls added into your kingdom. Do you love your city, Melbourne? Do you love your people? You remember some of the people that you reached out to and that you still have their contacts? Please don't stop. Don't give up on them. Some of your family members that you try talking to, and I feel like it's not God. Please beg the Lord. Cry for them. Oh, Lord, because you know what? They might die tomorrow. And their salvation is uncertain. Let us have the heart of Jesus. It was a people worth dying for, and he went straight to Jerusalem. This is my city. This is my people. And of course, I'm not telling everyone, okay, go to Jerusalem. No. Stay here. This is where you are. And when I go back to on Wednesday, I have a responsibility also in Port Moresby. We get bogged down with life and family and work and finance, but God, please give me compassion so I can love my people. I reach out. I can put everything, my time, my effort, my energy. If there is one soul, if I could reach out today, one soul for this year, please, Lord, open their hearts. And maybe next time when we come here, we have no space for this room. Because more souls will be added into God's kingdom. You know, Melbourne City is a city worth dying for. Love your people. Don't give up on your families. Don't give up on your work colleagues. Those contacts and those emails, don't stop communicating with them. See the heart of Jesus. Something that I can learn and something we can all learn. Let us understand that these are the people that are worth dying for. You know, Charles Spurgeon, the world is dying. The graves are filling. Hell is boasting, and yet you have the gospel. Can it be that you do not care to win souls? You do not care whether men are damned or saved? The Lord wake us from this stony-hearted barbarity to our fellow man and make us yearn over them. Care about them, pray about them, and work for them till the Lord shall rise. Arise and send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. One time he was, you know, sitting down with his preaching to the congregation. He said, man, hell is boasting, but you have the gospel. What are you doing with that? What am I doing with that in PNG? I'm not supposed to be holding it. I'm supposed to be sharing it. I already have the eternity. But what about your brothers and sisters? Possibly, or maybe, most likely, doomed in hell. We must have the driving force. We must see the need that these are people worth dying for. You know, Charles Spurgeon saw a theology like an astronomy. As the solar system makes sense only when the sun is central, so the systems of theological thought are coherent only when Christ is central. And until we understand that, we can't be right in the rest if unless we think rightly of him. Let us be a church that has that heart, a people worth dying for. In Romans chapter 9, this is Paul. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Paul had this heart and concern and anguish. If I could exchange my salvation so that my people would be saved. Oh my goodness, I can't do that. It's very easy to think about myself, you know, but to lay down my life. I love you, Melbourne, but to lay down my life for you, maybe that will be, I don't know. But even Jesus says, greater love there's no one than this, but to lay down your life for your friend, your brother and sisters. Paul, you know, he saw the need. If only I could, if there was a chance, if there was any way I could go to hell so that you will go to heaven, that's love. Are people worth dying for? But yet those are the very people who turned around and persecuted him. Oh Lord, I will die for you. If there is a way, I will go to hell so that you will go to heaven. Are people worth dying for? Whatever it takes. Paul had a great concern for his people. He was worried. He was a nervous feeling. It was concern. It was anxiety in him. It comes from great heaviness and great grief and great anxiety. Brothers and sisters, is that the kind of compassion that we have today for the lost souls? Is that the kind of heart that we have for those who are perishing? I spoke to the leaders recently and I said in Port Moresby, if you have no heart for the people, this is to the church in Port Moresby. If we have no heart for the people, no concern, if we have not been involved in a Bible study or at least sit in a Bible study or help someone usher into God's, if that has not been your, you know, your passion or your dream, your heart, maybe for the last few months or for the last 2 years, we need to revisit our baptism. You got to question whether you are truly sold out for Christ. That's what I told him. If we have no heart for the people, we need to question our faith in Christ Jesus. Something is not right. But Moresby Church, Melbourne Church, there are people worth dying for. Let us reach out to them. Remember the heart of Jesus. He wept. I can't feel it right now, Jesus. Okay, maybe Felix's message, you know, it's not really clear, you know. I'm praying, but, you know, I'm just, there's so many things, but please. Remember, Jesus cried for his people. Let us have that heart as well. Church, our greatest concerns can be our greatest confusion. Our greatest concerns can be our greatest confusion. What does that mean? We're concerned about family and our life and all these things that happen, our work and our jobs and bills and all of that. And they can be a great concern, but that's a great confusion. Why? Because Jesus reminds us to go and make disciples of all nations. That should be our concern. That should be our driving factor. That should be our priority. That should be the motivating factor for every church in the Spire region. Let us divert our concerns and imitate the heart of Jesus. Weep for your city. Cry for your people. So that in the last day, maybe you would save a few. My last point. And I think I switched it off. This is the day. And I would like to read this, actually. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes, and the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and every encircle you and hem you in every in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." All of that happened after Acts chapter 2. Not Acts chapter 2, but after when Jesus died and resurrected, gone to heaven in AD 70, all these things, the prophecy came to reality. Jesus saw the future and he saw beyond. But he was saying, but he was saying in this reading, says, if you, even you, had only known on this day, if only you knew this day. Everything that the prophets talked about and they prophesied, they were talking about this particular day. But you were so blind. You did not see. Why? Because your view was all about a material kingdom, but not a spiritual kingdom. And that's why you couldn't accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They were thinking of someone to come and lead them and, you know, and overtake the Roman government or the Roman Empire, whatever it is. But it was a very materialistic view of the kingdom. Isn't that true for us even today? Jesus, you know, he sees and says, this is the day, a day of hope, a day of deliverance, a day of celebration. This was supposed to be an exciting time for Jerusalem, but you chose not to believe this. You chose to reject the Messiah. And that's why in 70 AD, all these things will happen. All the Roman soldiers, the infantry, everyone is going to come and run over. And everything that you see, touch, and feel here in Jerusalem, everything is going to go down. This was the day of salvation, but you chose not to. Zechariah prophesies on that. Daniel prophesies about this. And, you know, a lot of Israelites look forward to this day, but they did not see. Most of the people in Jerusalem had refused to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. God sent Jesus Christ, Jesus as the Christ, but the people did not recognize Christ when he came. Why? Because they were thinking of a materialistic kingdom. And I think when you look at that, at that time, it applied to the Jewish people. But isn't that so true? That even now, the scripture speaks to us that this is the day. Now is the time to turn to Christ. Now is the time to bury all your doubts and uncertainties. Now is the time, if you are studying the Bible. This is no time to delay. Now is the time for deliverance. Now is the time of hope. Now is the time for salvation. What are you waiting for? Yep. If you're studying the Bible, or maybe you're a skeptic, or maybe you have doubts and fears, now, this is the day. Not at that time, but even now, today. This is the day. You read the book of Psalms, this is the day. Well, that was the day. And it is still today for us. The issue with the Jewish people at that time, in Jesus' time and right throughout, you know, Acts and Romans, was the issue with them was they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Not that they were confused about, you know, adultery or, you know, whatever those other sins were. But that was the big challenge for them. But what if we turn the question around and ask, well, what was the struggle for the Jewish? What was the struggle for the Gentiles? The Gentiles didn't have any issues with Jesus, the Son of God. They all believed that. Most of the churches that were planted, most of the Gentiles, they didn't have any issues in believing the Son of God. But what was the issue? Repentance. Fast forward over 2,000 years later, we still battle with this topic today. People don't want to repent. Oh yeah, I wanna do this. I wanna give my life. I wanna. The world is. That's still the issue today. But yet we are reminded again that this is the day. What are you waiting for? What kind of revelation do you expect? Maybe I will call fire from heaven like Elijah. Oh, Felix, oh, let's all go to Papua New Guinea. No, don't do that. You know, one of the brothers, like I said, you know, he gave his life. You know, he just radical repentance. And his mom got scared. What's going on? Like, you never used to be. You're looking sharp, you know. You're like clear and you're going to church. And I said, okay, just give us time. We really want to see like you are really, really, you know, changed. But, you know, that's repentance. That's radical change. This is the kind of heart with an attitude that is ready to say, this is the day and I'm surrendering everything to God. Whatever it is that I'm going through, I'm giving everything to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Why are you waiting? Now is the day of salvation. Church, let us work together. Today is the day. And for those who are studying the Bible, today is the day. There's no tomorrow. Now is the acceptable time. Now is a day of repentance. Now is a day to have a change of heart and a change of mind. Now is a day to, maybe if there's some things that you're bringing from 2019, today is the day to trash all of that away. This is no time for Christian lives, you know, conceived with ease and comfort and self-focus. It is time to get busy for the Lord and to be workers together with Him. You know, with that, I want to, you know, leave these bullet points for the Melbourne Church. I thank you once again for, you know, for the opportunity to be here and to speak at the leadership workshop and to be here to, you know, share about our lives and all that God is doing. But I want to leave this with you, you know, what drives your life? Something that we can ask each and every one of us, something drives our lives. That is something you can ask, that we can all ask. Let us remember what drove Jesus, what really motivated, what he was really passionate. And that should also be our heart as a church. Let us see Melbourne City, you know, that let's open our eyes. God, please open our eyes, because that's the theme for the men's retreat. But that should also be our prayer this year. God, open my eyes to see that in the Melbourne City, there are people worth dying for. Amen. And I will do whatever it takes to reach out. My friend, my neighbors, my family, my cousins, my relatives, and all those contacts that I lost many years or months ago, I'm still going to go reach out to them. These are the people worth dying for, because Jesus saw every one of us. And he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm ready to die for the sins of all mankind. Remember that this is the day. There is no tomorrow. They may never come tomorrow. Now is the day to change our hearts, to examine our hearts, where we stand with God and our relationship with one another. Let us examine our thoughts and our feelings. Today is the day that God is calling us. He wants to work with us to see great things happen in Melbourne, in Port Moresby, and in the Spa region. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.